There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Did he hit Austin? My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting live in beautiful high-definition audio to all the ships at sea, to all four corners of our great greenish-blue earth, from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, where we produce, conspire, play shows, and, of course, broadcast the P2 Podcast. Here today with our good friend, our old road manager, Blake Walker. Walker, Texas road manager, dropping in today. Good to see you again, my friend. We have kicked off the podcast once again here for 2013, forging ahead, just in case the Mayans are wrong. After we are long covered up with volcanic ash, I hope somebody digs up this computer, gets this hard drive. Some aliens in the future, and just listens to Phil and Kurt South and Blake Walker and Roger Ray and Pat Green and whoever else we had on there talking about our careers and thinking, what are they talking about? Didn't these guys know they were doomed? There seems to be no evidence of that. So I hope that I hope you make it into 2013. I'm confident.
The Mayans are all dead now, so I don't trust them.
Yeah, so what do they know? I don't know.
Come on.
The dinosaurs and the Mayans and so many others. Our turn's coming, just hopefully not at the end of this year. Well, last year we talked about what it means. Blake has a new baby in the house. We're just laughing about being a father in the modern age, how we don't get to come home from work, drop into the chair, fire up a cigarette and have a scotch, and have our wife bring us a hot meal. Instead, we walk in the front door, they hand us a baby with a dirty diaper and say, thank God you're here because I'm done. I've had it. And then we take over. And she goes out for drinks with her friends. I mean, you know, sometimes. I'm just kidding. My wife would laugh if she heard that. That's a joke. Well, 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 what do we have? I'll tell you what we have, man. We've had many discussions here. Blake Walker, the biggest Aggie fan in the world. A lot of other Aggie fans will take offense, but I don't mean in the world, but just a man not afraid to show his Aggie ass.
If you know me, you know that's not a stretch.
So our fans will no doubt remember Blake Walker coming on this program about a year ago, oh, just with his head in his hands, leaving the Big 12. A&M, terrible. Sherman's no good. We don't have a coach. We don't have a quarterback. We don't have a team. We don't have a conference. We're going to the SEC. We're going to get killed. It's going to be murder. The UT is on their way up. They don't even have to play us now. They're going to win the national championship all the time. They got all these big recruits. They got Mack Brown. They're losing competition in the Big 12. They've got their own TV network. The sky is falling. The Mayans were right. And look at us right now at the end of 2012.
Oh, man.
Texas, TU as you call them, in complete disarray. No quarterback, directionless, a weak defense. Mack Brown's coaching being questioned. So many things being questioned. And over here in the SEC, the powerhouse SEC, we got your A&M Aggies running around, kicking everyone's ass. The only losses have come to like two of the biggest powerhouses in the country, in Florida and LSU. Then they go into Tuscaloosa. They beat Alabama. They got Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel at quarterback running around. I saw the first game. I text Ryan Lynch. I said, dude, this quarterback guy can flat play ball. He's like, oh, he's lucky. I go, dude, this guy can play. Who the hell is this guy? I was impressed with Stephen McGee.
Right.
When I saw him for the first time, he ran around. He made first downs. And, of course, here's Johnny Football. He does that, but he can really throw it, and he can really elude the rush and do everything. I'm just like, dude, this is big time. Because in the college game, now you go to the pros, you're going to get crushed if you don't have a defense and a running back and an offensive line. If Texas doesn't have Vince Young that year, you know, we're 9-3.
Sure.
If you have the quarterback, you win all your games.
Makes all the difference.
You really can.
Yeah.
BYU with Ty Detmer, you just go, they're 14-0. What if they didn't have him? You're like, you know, they're 8-4.
Just so you know, in the Holiday Bowl, we separated both Ty Detmer's shoulders, and Bucky Richardson threw four, rushed four, and caught a touchdown. It was the Bucky Richardson trifecta. We beat Ty Detmer when he won
apologies.
The Heisman.
I stepped into that big steaming pile of shit.
That's my favorite Aggie highlight, besides the Quentin Coriot, the hit.
Today, the big thing on Blake Walker's Aggies for so long is, how come we can't do it? How come we do it? I just said, look, man, the Sooners, UT, these guys got that. They got the long tape, man, the tape. It's like, what do you mean? I'm like, dude, we show them. We roll the tape. When the recruits come to UT, what do?
Dude.
We sit them in a dark room. We start showing them Darryl Royal, 3 national championships, Earl Campbell Heisman Trophy, Vince Young, you know, winning the national title. We cue up the Ricky Williams, man, breaking the – it goes on forever. OU and Walker would sit there and go, well, and I'm like, when they go to A&M, I go, what do y'all pull up, the 1936?
39. What was the first thing I texted you when we beat Alabama?
Roll the tape. There you go. Look.
Jason,
let me finish my point.
Go ahead.
Here's what we got on Walker about was the roll the tape. I go, Michigan, same thing. Ohio State. I go, dude, they're rolling the tape of their national championships, their Heisman Trophy guys.
Yep.
That's what gets recruits. I'm like, man, for whatever reason, A&M has struggled. And you've had some high points, and you were going on about Bucky and the Cotton Bowl. I'm like, dude, Bucky ain't – the Cotton Bowl ain't going to mean anything to the new Vince Young. He's going to be kind of like, okay.
Yep.
You know, man, we were 7-4 that year. We showed a lot of heart. We won 12-9. We ran the option. I'm like, dude, that's not going to do it. You got to do better. And lo and behold, here in the SEC, on the country's biggest college football stage, 10-2, whipping ass, Johnny Football looking like he's winning the Heisman. Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And to your roll the tape comment, when I was the road manager, we would drive on those long stretches. You and Ryan Lynch, Jason Stallings would wear me out.
Oh,
I mean, I was so frustrated.
And just loved it. Loved
and
every
just
minute
telling
of it.
Me, yeah. You know, and I could never win the argument because it was the truth. It was always the roll the tape. This is why Texas gets recruits.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
We have this history of winning, and OU does the same. And A&M was always the redheaded stepchild. We would always pick off the kids who didn't go to Texas or OU, and we'd get the next pick of the litter.
Yeah.
But we always have to have some miraculous 3 or 4 game winning stretch against you guys over the years to be able to out-recruit you, but we could never do it. You know, we did in the 80s. Jackie Sherrill was paying him. He got caught.
Right.
Then we have RC, who was good, but his big bowl games were bad.
7-4. Yeah, he didn't win a lot of
big
bowl games.
He'd have his big bowl games. He wouldn't win them.
Not a lot of signature wins.
Right.
Then we saved the one to OU that year.
That 2001.
Neil.
Then they fire him.
After that,
they fire him because, you know, he wasn't getting the national championship thing done. They go get Fran. That didn't work. They go get Sherman. That didn't work. Well, then in comes Kevin Sumlin, who
everyone's like, who's this guy?
Yeah, well,
this ain't gonna
work. Was at A&M back when we beat Oklahoma in 2001. Mm-hmm. He was offensive coordinator. He went to OU. He's successful at OU. Then he goes to Houston. But the rub on him was Art Briles was at Houston.
Uh-huh.
He had recruited that awesome quarterback, and Art Briles was running that system.
He can't take a lot of credit.
Yeah, he went to Baylor. So then Kingsbury and Sumlin are at Houston, and they have some success. But then you go, well, they don't play anyone. It's Houston.
Right,
who knows?
Right. Yep.
And then we fire Sherman. His cardinal sin was he lost to Texas when Texas was on a down year at the last home game against Texas, maybe ever. I don't know. It was our last Big 12 game. He loses. They fire him shortly after Sumlin gets named, and the old Tech quarterback, Cliff Kingsbury, is our offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And, you know, at first, you guys can go back and listen to the podcast.
Yep.
I was nervous. I didn't want to do it. The only plus was we get paid $20 million
it's good
more.
Good for the school, good for the national recognition.
Money. But, the whole Texas A&M thing, everybody's still mad about it, whatever.
Dude, people in this country have not talked this much about Texas Aggie football in 100 years.
It's true.
I'm not kidding.
You know, it's true.
And there's guys on ESPN just going, you know what? A&M could beat anybody they played right now. And they might be right.
I don't think anybody wants to play us right now.
No,
I don't think anybody
no,
wants
dude.
To play
I'm
us
like,
right
I'm like, if you roll, A&M out there against Georgia or Alabama, I'm just kind of like, dude.
Give me Notre Dame.
I'm like, dude.
Bring that. I would love to play them. We're not getting a chance.
I think y'all score 40 on them. I really do. You might lose, but I'm just like, I would say, man, I bet y'all could beat them.
You can't game plan.
38-14.
You can't
game plan
for Johnny Manziel, just like you couldn't game plan for Vince Young.
Yeah.
You know, that,
we're going to blitz him. He's going to run for 15
USC
yards.
Had two Heisman trophies on one side of the ball, and they're playing in their backyard in the Rose Bowl and could not stop Vince Young.
I mean, defensive guys wouldn't even pro. I mean, it was just, I was just like, dude, they can't stop him.
That's what one dynamic guy who can throw and run can do in college football. He can change the game.
And yet, as you sit here, as you've told me earlier, despite all the success, despite the accolades, despite the
I'm texting you all night on Thanksgiving night.
Despite all this, there is a somberness, a regretfulness, and a sadness to your person.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I'm brainwashed. I'm the 17th Aggie in my family.
Any good Aggie, come on.
I've never heard my dad say Texas University. We always use the term the University of Texas, little U. He doesn't call it the University of Texas, right? Because there's A&M and Texas.
Right.
My dad grew up during the Vietnam War, so when he was at A&M, all the guys in Austin were burning their draft card, and all the guys at A&M were going to Vietnam. So there's a big hatred back then in the 70s and the 60s from those Aggie guys. So that's what I grew up in, is they all of them hated. They thought Austin was Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, biblical term of just the craziest, most liberal, you know, the only city in Texas that doesn't carry the Republican vote, you know.
Yeah,
whatever.
Right.
So I grew up with all that. And so we always hated them and loved to hate them. And that was our thing. And I wasn't around when Jackie Sherrill won the Southwest Conference 3 years in a row and was beating Texas.
Yeah.
That, I was too little for that. So I don't remember that. I just remember the 90s when we were okay. In 98, we won a Big 12 championship.
Sure.
And then we got our butts kicked by Ohio State. And that was it. That was all we had. We had Dat win. And that was about it, you know. Dat win won a trophy.
Sorry, Dat. We love you.
And I love Dat, you know. And then you know, Von Miller came through just recently, and that was a big defensive guy.
Oh, yeah,
but we haven't
had
a lot of success. So really what kept the fires burning was that fight and that rivalry.
That hatred.
A&M in Texas.
For the Longhorns. And there's no doubt. And so it's hard to.
Yeah.
Is it hard to press on without it? You say it feels somewhat empty.
It is. It's like.
Got to be fun to roll into play Texas now, wouldn't
it? It would be awesome.
Just being 55-10 or whatever.
The majority of my Aggie family and friends are saying they're trying to take the road that Texas always did to us, which pissed us off. Like when I texted you on Thanksgiving night, and it was just like this long text of like, why we're out of the Big 12, and it's Texas's fault because they don't want to share their TV money, and we should be playing, and now you're playing TCU, and TCU sucks, and how can you do this? And Phil just texts back we don't care. We don't care. Like he texts like three words. You know, we don't care. You know, just basically said, dude, we could care less. You know, like the Texas fans don't care.
That's not true. I know it gets under your skin.
Yeah, it got
me. I just kind of go, we don't care.
And I had a couple other Texas guys tell me the same thing. Like, we don't care. You know, we've been good before and we don't worry about anything.
Yeah.
And so to us, we always worried about you guys.
And
if our whole season, if we lost every game and we won Thanksgiving night or the day after, whenever we played, it made our season.
Sure.
You know, so in the.
Can you even eat Thanksgiving dinner anymore?
I had a hard time.
God dog it.
I had a hard time.
I mean, what if they just took the Cowboys off Thanksgiving? And you're sitting there watching the Colts.
And that's how I felt.
And the Jaguars.
I know.
Trying to eat your turkey. I would just go, man, this is wrong. It's either the Detroit Lions or the Cowboys. Come on, man.
It's a bitter.
Golly, that's a huge tradition.
It's been the best year of Aggie football since 39.
Yeah,
you know? It's awesome, and I love it. But there is something missing, and it's because the two biggest kids on the block have to fight each other.
Right.
If you're going to bow your chest out and you're going to stand on the same corner as I am, you have to fight at some point. This is America. That's what we build this country on. We have to slug it out.
Right.
And that's the thing that kills me is I want to go to the Cotton Bowl and let Johnny Manziel run crazy on Texas. And if it happens, I'd love it. I have so many Aggies telling me I could care less. I won't watch it if it goes on. All this crap. You know, they want to take the arrogant higher road and say, we don't care. I think in their heart of hearts, every Aggie cares.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's
yeah, I think
no
we all want that. We all want to play every year for bragging rights in the state.
Yeah.
Whether it be water cooler, recruiting, it's just we're the two biggest public schools in the state. We got to fight. We got to play. It's just not right.
I'll tell you though, as a Texas fan watching this, I've watched the Aggies. I mean, I've watched every play of a lot of their games this year. Because I wanted to see how they do, you know, against Florida and Alabama, and it was great theater, man. I enjoyed it. Of course, anybody likes football is going to watch Manziel play quarterback is great. But there is and I knew this would happen, and there was some sadness with me as well. It's just, you know, I'm the SEC. I'm just not familiar with a lot of these opponents, and because I watched a lot of Aggie football, you know, but they were playing Oklahoma State. And they're playing, you know, Tech, and they're playing Baylor in teams that the Horns were going to be playing. I'm going, God, man, you know, we didn't do this good against Tech, or man, Oklahoma State just ran it up on us. The Aggies are doing better. What's going on? There was comparative watching.
Oh yeah.
You know, hey, OU's going to be at A&M, you know, and OU had kicked our ass in the Cotton Bowl. Now they're going to Aggies, and y'all are hanging with them. I would try and you know, you try to discern information about your team out of those. Yeah. Common opponents. So without that, it's very difficult. It's fun to watch, but it is hard to get a sense for, I don't know. It's hard to stay super interested in it, I guess is my point.
I'll admit.
Anybody's going to watch the Alabama game, the number one team in the country, but, you know, just early on in the season when y'all played Ole Miss or whoever you are. I mean, I didn't. I was like, well, I don't know. You know,
yeah,
maybe that's okay. Maybe that's okay.
I found myself on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Watching Big 12 games again because I just always done it.
I know.
I was watching I'd watch the Tech Baylor game or I'd watch Texas Baylor.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there watching Baylor going,
and Tech.
Wait a minute, why am I watching
TCU's
this?
Playing Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I was watching. I still watch those games. I did too.
And then, but then when Arkansas played Alabama or no, when Arkansas played Auburn, I wasn't really interested. You know, I should be, but
yeah,
they both sucked
just,
this year.
Yeah,
so
right.
It was hard to get it. But I really wasn't interested. I was just when. You know, if Ole Miss plays, you know, Vanderbilt or whoever, I was just kind of like, well, you know, I knew I should be scouting.
Yeah.
But I also just is hard to get involved in. Like when LSU played Alabama, sure, I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
But I found myself gravitating to freaking Big 12 games, and I don't know why.
Here's my question. Kind of running with the Johnny Manziel deal a step further. Here's what I'm getting tired of in college football, and a lot of people are going to disagree. I'm kind of an old school 3 yards and cloud of dust kind of guy.
Right.
I like the scoring. I like the passing. Don't get me wrong. But dude, these 66-62 final scores has got to stop.
That's your Big 12, man.
It has to stop. And everyone says, well, they play defense in the SEC. I'm like, oh no, they don't. You get a quarterback like Johnny Manziel, who's a Big 12 style offense in the SEC. They're going to run all over some of these guys. Now, they didn't win some games, but I think if you get a quarterback who can run the five receiver spread style offense,
right?
I don't care how good your defense is, you're going to struggle. You can tell. I bet if you put Notre Dame out on the floor with Oregon or on a decent day, I'm not saying anybody can beat anybody, but Oregon's going to get their points. Manziel's going to get his points like he did against Alabama. I mean, just
yeah. But
whereas the old adage was good defense beats good offense every time, and I think this spread offense has not unlike when the wishbone came out in college. It was like, man, when we tackle the quarterback, he just pitches it to the guy behind him. No one could stop it. If your quarterback couldn't run it, you'd get stopped. But if you really had a guy who could really run it,
right?
It was hard to stop, dude. Those guys just racked up yards. So the defenses had to adjust.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're still in a period where we got our four big old defensive linemen. We got our three running backs. They'll pop you. And you got Manziel. Dude, he's just going to throw it. You got single coverage on the – you're finished.
Yeah.
Someone needs to revolutionize the defensive scheme against this kind of – really, what is kind of the Mike Leach, Texas Tech offense?
It has to
be stopped. Some little school's got to figure it out and say, man, we play the 110. Just, I'm sorry, what? Just, we have a nose guard and we have 10 defensive backs who can all tackle really well.
And are all fast.
And are fast.
Right.
Like, well, who rushes the quarterback? Just nobody. Just, I mean, you're like, well, that's ridiculous. But I'm like,
someone's got to come up with something ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that
the Mike Leach offense at Texas Tech was silly.
Yeah,
there was 10 yards between the linemen on the line.
Right.
It was the dumbest. Like, this isn't going to work. Well, guess what? It did, and it just threw over everybody. And so now the defense needs to. Someone needs to come up with something.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, Leach, you know, he never won a Big 12.
Right.
If he would have had the athletes, he could have been unstoppable. But that's how Johnny Manziel is right now. They've got a really talented team.
Mm-hmm.
And it took him a while to put it together because he's a freshman. But what you're saying is true. The Florida game and the LSU game, we could easily be undefeated.
Yeah.
We gave those games away. The LSU game, we handed away. The Florida game, he was a freaking freshman, 19, mm-hmm. first college game. He got shut down the second half. You play him right now.
Yeah,
you'd probably beat him. Uh-huh. So I mean, I agree with you. If you get a dynamic Johnny Manziel, who's a once in a million guy, but you put him in a talented offense like that, it's very hard to beat. You saw Alabama, the best defense in the country, couldn't stop it. We're up 20 points before halftime.
But look at what you're dealing with, man. Yeah, Manziel. I mean, but there's a lot of guys, like, I'm not saying as talented as Manziel, but let me tell you what, man. You had Fran and Sherman, 3 yards in a cloud and dust and everybody to death.
Yep.
You got Sumlin in there, man. You got the running. You got the scheme. The scheme wins. If you run the scheme and you got guys who run the scheme, the offense wins in today's football. That's unarguable. Now, some days their timing be off. You say, they only, Oregon the other week only scored 14 points or something like that. But
if you've got
out of 12 games, but someone like Iowa State or someone, I'm waiting for like Baylor to go to Iowa State and say, man, they scored 3 points against Iowa State. They're running this 2-8-1 defense. Just
crazy.
Just like, dude, it's basically eight linebackers and two down linemen. Just like, well, how can that work? I mean, just like, man, it cuts down all these little slant. You can't throw screens. You can't throw it across the middle. It looks stupid. It looks like it wouldn't work, but man, it works. It stops these passing offenses. And causes trouble.
Yeah.
You just cannot sit there and, I mean, these guys blitz, they just get murdered, man. They just get dumped off and it's gone.
Yeah.
Gone. And you cannot stop Johnny Manziel on four plays from going 10 yards. That's nothing.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to make it first and 50, you're going to say, well, they got 15 yards for first down these days. If you're not going to do that, the scheme on defense has got to change. You cannot, and Alabama's still recruiting the biggest and best. They're running the pro style defense.
Right.
But let me tell you what, if they start playing Manziel every year, and if they're playing, shit, man, I mean, Baylor and these, I mean, they're going to score on Alabama. You wait, you get them in the ring with some guys who can run that kind of offense, like Oregon. I'm like, we'll see which wins out.
Yeah, I think our niche is Johnny. I think without Johnny, it doesn't work because you don't know how to bite on the rush or the pass.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a once in a blue moon deal, but it is. With Vince Young. But I agree with you. I think if you are going to try and beat us and you're an inferior team, they might start trying some crazy defense.
That's all Texas Tech was. Yeah. Tech was like, look, we can't just get the biggest, fastest guys and try to run up the middle against A&M and OU in Texas. It's just not going to work. So Leach had to just go, look, we need to throw the old playbooks and we got to block them. And the fullback picks up. They go, out the window, finished.
Yeah.
And he got a little note card. He wrote down about five or six plays and he came up with a scheme that could beat those teams, and he made them look stupid.
Yeah.
And it was like, how did he do that? I'm just like, someone needs to do it on defense and say, man, how in the hell did Iowa State hold Johnny Manziel to 13 points?
You're going to have some
that is insane. You're like, dude, their best players are on defense. It's got to be something, man. I hope it comes, though, because, I mean, look, everyone loves the scoring, but everyone's like, the Bedlam game was so great this year. Dude, it's silly. No one can stop anybody. These are supposed to be good defenses. It's stupid. Third and four. Oh, they're going to get it. I'm like, even if they don't, they go for it on four. You're not going to hold them for two downs with six guys going out for a pass. There's no way.
Well, this year in the Big 12, it was definitely the battle of no defense.
The Longhorn. But it's the schemes are so good, is what I'm saying. It's the offenses have way further evolved than the defenses.
So you got the one-on-one defensive back just getting torched.
We're still recruiting nose tackles and defensive ends who look like Lawrence Taylor. Those guys don't do you any good against that scheme. There's no time to get to the quarterback. He dumps it off. Now you got some dude just 15 yards upfield. It's over. Forget that. Forget recruiting these guys. Forget it. You need to go find 11 Dez Bryants and put them on defense.
Yeah. Big, tall, fast guys.
Something. I mean, just I want to be a receiver. We got receivers. We got 12 of those guys.
Right.
Forget it. You want to go play in the NFL? You show you can shut this thing down.
Well,
that's going to get you paid.
LSU's defense, with to give somebody some credit, they have a really good defense.
There's
They shut Johnny
Florida
down.
Florida does too. Florida's got
to
get
But we did turn the ball over a lot. Yeah. We had a chance to beat them, but the schemes they ran, and they have some big boys on that defensive
line. Yeah.
They fared really well. But like I said, I mean, we had chances to beat them, and we kind of shot ourselves on the foot. But I think there might be a few teams that will try something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be somebody like an Iowa State who's going to play.
In the Big 12, he's got to play all these teams.
You got nothing to lose. You're going to get killed anyway.
Yeah, Kansas, we're going to – you know, maybe just blitz every play or never blitz or something just kind of
something
like, man, that's
wheels
just
off. Somebody might have to do it. I've been – it's really been a fun year for me because I thought we're going to get killed.
Yeah.
So every game, just watching Johnny play has been fun because he's such a dynamic player.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back and watch like the Ole Miss game, he played awful in that first half. He looked terrible. And then he managed to pull that game and put it on his back and do some things on his feet that were amazing in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And our defense stepped up. And so every game became exciting because you just don't know what that kid's going to do.
Yeah.
And he's 19.
Yeah.
He's 19 years old from Kerrville, Texas, you know?
He's on his way to being the next Colt McCoy.
It's crazy. You know? He does.
I'm just kidding.
I don't, you know, in all honesty, a 6'1", 200-pound guy, that's what Colt McCoy is, who's not successful in the NFL, that's probably where he's headed because you can't rush like that in the NFL. You better become a pocket passer. And unless you're Drew Brees, that body type doesn't normally work now.
Yeah,
you know, you got to be the kid from Highland Park, Matthew Stafford, who's like 6'4", you know,
and
got the big
get
arm.
Flattened after every play. Yeah. That's right.
But, you know, the funny thing about all this is, though, in my good buddy who kind of gave me the first Phil album I ever had, Cullen Kiefer, he's a dirty T-sip and a good friend of mine. We were arguing about this. And here's what I don't understand.
Okay.
Mac Brown and Bob Stoops, and I've been watching recruiting for years because I'm a crazy Aggie and always hoped that we'd steal one or two a year from you guys. They get the pick of the litter.
Mm.
It's usually cut up. The state of Texas is cut up between Mac Brown and Bob Stoops. And usually Mac Brown gets the better half.
Mm.
He usually gets the first pick, the five-star guys, the Dallas, Houston, big 5A football players. How does Mac Brown and his staff, the same guys who brought us a Vince Young and brought us a Colt McCoy, how do these guys pass or not recruit RG3, Andrew Luck, Johnny Manziel? These are three guys in their wheelhouse that all wanted to go to Texas and all would have gone to Texas, but were not recruited by the great Mac Brown. How does that happen?
I don't know, man. I think a more potent question of that, because there's so many good athletes. I mean, you're going to miss a guy like that.
I'm talking three guys like Andrew Luck and RG3 both could have won the Heisman.
Yeah, that's true.
They're both Texas kids. Johnny Manziel went to TCIP football camp every year, and you seen the picture with him?
Yeah,
he's standing next to Mac with the Texas shirt on just begging to go, and Mac's like, we'll recruit you as a safety, you know, or a defensive back.
I think another equally disturbing question for Texas is, because they do get a lot of great recruits, and they're going to miss some, is how is it they get the greatest athletes coming out of high school?
Sure.
And they just don't develop them. They're not any better leaving Texas as when they got there, and most of them just kind of flame out in the pros, with the exception of some defensive backs. We seem to develop defensive backs.
You got some good running backs, too.
Dude, Cedric Benson was kind of – now, Jamal Charles is good.
Jamal Charles, Priest Holmes. Benson's still playing.
Yeah, but he's kind of a head case and
a
washout.
Ricky's great,
Ricky,
but he was a head
crazy.
Case. I don't think it was y'all's fault.
Vince
he was always
crazy.
Crazy.
Roy Williams at receiver never matured. Chris Sims never developed. Colt's never going to be a player. I'm not saying it's the role of college to prepare him for the pros. I'm not saying that. But you'd like to see – I mean, these OU guys go into the pros, and they make an impact, most of them. They seem like they get out there. But maybe that's – I mean, USC's like that. I texted y'all about all these USC quarterbacks. I'm just like, from Marinovich to Barkley, I mean, the jury's out on him, I guess, but to Leinart, Carson Palmer, you could say, man –
yeah, there's a ton of them.
Maybe just life doesn't get any better than being the quarterback at USC.
Probably doesn't.
Then you're in Cleveland, you're just like, life sucks now, whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like that in Austin a little bit. You go from being a god in Austin to playing for the Seattle Seahawks, getting your brains beat. You just don't have it in you just to make it. I don't know. I'm always upset by the lack of Texas, we have these great recruiting classes. There's very few UT guys in the NFL who just lead teams and kick ass. I mean, you're like, man, you got Vince. And I'm like, dude, they were all washouts. They were busts. They were head cases. They got in trouble. They got arrested. It sucks.
I mean,
it's embarrassing for me.
It's embarrassing for me to say this, but to defend that point, there's not a lot of guys from the same college that are just team leaders and are the linchpin around a team.
I guess so.
But I would, from the outside looking in, and I know my T-Sit buddy will disagree with me, but I kind of think Mac is a great recruiter.
Yeah.
Probably not the best hands-on coach, but an amazing recruiter, surrounds himself with the right people.
Right.
But I think he's kind of slipping, kind of like R.C. Slocum did.
Yeah.
Slocum used to recruit the best defenses in the Southwest Conference, and he had a slew of great players that he recruited.
Yeah.
But as he got older, he started slipping.
Yeah.
In the late 90s and in the early 2000s, our recruiting classes started to slip, and his aura and his legend began to fade. And I think Max isn't totally faded, but I think these last couple years have tarnished it a little bit.
They all fade.
Right.
Anytime you win a national title and you get to the top of that mountain, what happens next? Like, it ends.
Yeah.
At some point, it starts to go downhill. We're not just going to go right back to the top of the mountain. It took so much to get there. He was the best thing the program ever has had, this side of Darryl Royal. And and then the terrifying thing is what nobody wants to even look at is just, now who do you get?
And you go
into Texas A&M. I mean, you can look for years.
Yeah, we went through Fran and then Sherman.
I mean, everyone's like, LSU, man, they're awesome. And Notre Dame, I'm like, Notre Dame, no one saw Notre Dame since Lou Holtz, man.
Yep.
For 25 years. Yeah. Well, any great coach wants that job. I'm like, man, they just went through Charlie Weiss and Bob Davie and a million others.
Yeah.
I go, man, you can't go find the next guy.
Yeah, that's why it's almost and better so it's, to keep what you got.
Keep Mac. He's going to at least get recruits
so
we can go 8-3. Maybe we don't win it all, but who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky one year and get the next Vince Young guy. I'm going, oh, God, I got this quarterback. It's amazing. But if you just think, man, Mac's no good. OU kicked his butt, you know, and people are, you know, when that game happened, people were just going, man, he's done. He's done.
Yeah,
he's on the hot
emotional seat.
And he is on the hot seat. But I mean, who are you going to, just hire from within? We going to go steal the guy from Boise State? We already did that.
But yeah, the offensive coordinator.
Whoever.
Yeah.
I mean, is he going to be better? I mean, are you going to go get Tommy Tuberville? Who the hell's out there? You're like, I don't know. Nobody.
I think Mac struggled with the coaches he hired under him. There's been so much turnover.
Yeah.
You know, when Muschamp left and, you know, you got an
well, he was kind of the heir apparent. Letting him get away was probably a mistake.
Yeah, look, I mean, it may look like that way now. You never know.
Yeah, you just never know.
I mean,
you never know.
At the same token, you know, he just took you to the national championship and you only lost because your starting quarterback was hurt. You know, that just happened.
Right.
And it was like, well, why would we get rid of this guy? The same reason that everyone – all the old Aggies hate the younger Aggies because they blame us. My dad still tells me it's your fault we fired R.C. Slocum. He still wants R.C. Slocum back at A&M, you know? And he's mad Jackie Sherrill got caught cheating, you know?
Yeah,
but he
still blames
us for, well, you young guys. He calls us flat bellies. He's like, you flat bellies, y'all all got R.C. fired, you know? And so he's still mad about it. And we brought in Fran. It was disastrous.
Man.
And that's the hardest part is, Texas recruits itself, so you kind of got a leg up because A&M doesn't.
Right.
So coming in there, it's hard to get the kids. But,
well, that might change in the next few years. I mean, if you're putting out this kind of talent in the SEC and receivers and stuff, so, I mean, you're going to have Johnny Football thrown to you for the next 2 or 3 years.
I would love to see that.
Well, that is what you're going to see. That is what you're going to see. And they're going to go, man, they beat Alabama. Hell, we're going to win the national title. And it's exciting times, man. Well, that is some Texas A&M SEC Longhorn College football talk with an authority himself, Blake Walker, the self-proclaimed brainwashed Aggie. My question is there another kind?
No.
The insane brainwashed Aggie. I'm like, that's just how any school, that's what you got to be or you're not a fan, right?
Right.
P2 Podcast, folks. Call Phil Pritchett. Call me, 817-733-5256, or shoot me an email, phil@philpritchett.com. We want nothing more, the full band and I, than to come play for your party. Call us for New Year's, man. New Year's is open, dude. Say, Phil, come on, New Year's, having a party. Get over here with the band. Bring some speakers. We'll rock it out. Let us know when we can come play a show for you anytime, anywhere. And come record at the studio, all you songwriters out there. We're doing a lot of mixing, recording, all kinds of stuff back here at Trinidad all the time. So let us know what we can do for you. Or just send me your tracks, man. I'll mix it and add some acoustic guitar and keyboards and vocals and whatever else, make it sound nice, send it back to you. Mastering, we do all that kind of stuff. Stay tuned for next week, folks. More podcasts rocking and rolling into 2013, keeping it going if the Mayans are indeed wrong. We'll find out soon enough. For Phil Pritchett, this is the P2 Podcast. Thank you, Blake Walker. We'll see you next time. Much tougher.